Okay. Hey, this is Plaid, the guy that records and edits this radio show on the internet, and with me is Ken. And we are going to talk about anime because it's our anime podcast, and surprisingly enough, we do that on the show. I'm going to grab a spot on the sofa, and so will Ken. And Ken has been trying to start up an anime club and at his school, and I imagine that he knows a lot about the intricacies of that.
Well, yeah, it's been very problematic. I think a lot of it kind of goes to the people. I think a lot of it kind of goes to the people who also want to come. I think a lot of it comes to the people who come together and try to form it, and what exactly is their mentality and maybe what they want out of it. And have you ever tried yourself to start an anime club?
I'm not a natural leader. I don't think the process would come easily to me. I'd much rather, to use an old World of Darkness term, my nature would not be a soldier nor a leader. Instead, it would be a squire. I want to be part of the process, but I don't want to be the guy making all the decisions.
Well, that's a very good outlook, and that's pretty cool actually. But to pretty much start off the whole situation, there is an anime club that we both attend to. There's some complaints. Some people outside of its jurisdiction don't really like it, or maybe they don't really like the people there. And there's some complaints, but at the same time, it does have a very strong foundation. It has been around for... How long has it been around?
Well, we'll bleep it out in post.
Yeah.
The organization to which I belong, of which I am a member, let me go ahead and get my articles correct, has been around since 95 to, I think about 95. So that's been going on for quite a long time, and several of our alums do drop in from time to time. So it's got this nice continuity going to it. We can safely say that we can trace the club's origins back to the days of fan subs before BitTorrent was widely available. In fact, it was back in those days, to get high-speed internet, you had to go to college. So most of the time, if you wanted to see a show back in those times, you had to pay someone to dub it from an SVHS cassette over to a VHS cassette.
There was no DVD-Rs or anything. You couldn't go to Office Depot or anything. It was all... VHS, and you had to wait for the thing to record. It wasn't, it didn't take 10 minutes to copy it or anything. There is a very well-established club, and there are some complaints, and also they do have problems with growing, not so much the people who run it, but some of the politics that they have to go through with the campus here. It's not like Georgia Tech, where their club is widely embraced by the university, and they're even able to run their own convention, of course, MomoCon, which is still going on, I'm sure. Aren't you familiar with MomoCon?
I've heard of it, but I've never attended it. A drive up to Georgia is a little on the expensive side.
Yeah, MomoCon is essentially a free con that's ran by the university. There's even that's not perfect, but it's kind of cool that it is something for free and has become so big from what essentially was a club run thing at the university. And the club here they're working on taking that approach, but at the same time there's a lot of building blocks, and the people here, there isn't really much diversity. You have your occasional hardcores like me and Plaid over here, and then you have people who aren't really exposed to the better stuff that's out there. That their only links to anime and such, or Cartoon Network, or what is advertised mostly in the mainstream.
Stuff like Death Note, Gundam Wing, or Pokemon, or Naruto, that kind of thing. And if you're a fan of those shows, that's okay. It's just... So I think that perhaps some of the more hardcore fans look upon that kind of fandom the way that back in the mid-90s or so on, someone who claimed that they were really into anime but had only seen Akira.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good argument. The only problem is just that many of the anime fans that have been around for a while, especially like from the 90s and 80s, they feel that the younger generation may not really be open to really even exposing themselves to the roots of how it all got started and some of the classics that still stand up today, and that they may not be willing to give it a chance because it doesn't follow the same format, or maybe it's not dubbed, and things of that nature.
Well, there's something else about it. Anime from different time periods looks different, as the quality of the technology that they have for recording it differs. You say, take a look at the example. Here's an example. The original Armitage OVAs, when they do panning shots over the city, it looks a little jerky because they're moving the painting of the city by hand and taking photographs of it, versus it's not very good sequel. Polymatrix, when everything is recorded on computer, so the pans look perfectly smooth and don't have that slight jitteriness to it the way that the one before it did.
Yeah, and the thing is, the person who pretty much wanted to start the club, I kind of feel that they fall in between those lines. I remember when I talked to them about anime, they mentioned some of the more known and mainstream stuff, such as Rurouni Kenshin, mm-hmm. Naruto, Death Note. I've never really heard them say... It's not really so much about naming something that's obscure, but just something that may show that you're really familiar beyond just the scope. I mean, there's a lot of mainstream things I like, and then there's a lot of things that aren't mainstream that I like, and then there's things that I don't like out of either side. And really, what I like to see are people who are at least open to the idea of kind of brightening their horizons, rather than just looking to Cartoon Network or what's popular as a resource to find something new.
We have the cat, and as a result of it somehow gaining popularity during the anime boom, we have a lot of we have the introduction of casual fans. Before, anybody who was into it had to have a certain level of passion to use the Amiga to make those fan subs back in the day, or spend all that money tracking down those tapes from people that you never met, that you emailed over the internet to talk to, and so on. So for them, anime doesn't really have an incredible amount of value because it's something that they can pick up for free. And as a result, they're not willing to... it's not that they're not willing, but they've never had to try and chase something down back in the day. And as a result, this is... it's just TV to them. And it's all right if they just want to treat it like that because it is an entertainment product, yet other people feel differently.
Yeah, and, I was pretty much the idea of starting one at the campus I go. It seemed like a really good idea. Now, keep in mind, with the club that's already established, probably one of the few complaints is that it seems kind of click-orientated, like you really had to be friends or you really had to know the people and been around for a very long time in order to kind of get your ideas and points across. And there's some truth to this, and then there's some, then again, it really depends on how you come up to the people. I mean, I've heard people who weren't really around that long, and they say something, and then everyone else likes it. And I've seen things where, you know, someone says something totally out of order, and then it gets shot down. For example, the guy who wanted to use his raffle, he bought a raffle ticket, which, you know, if you won, you can pick what show next week, and he wanted to do something that was pretty off topic, from what I understand. And that was something that I kind of wanted to avoid with, you know, starting a new club. And I'm starting to feel that the whole click movement may be somewhat inevitable in terms of starting a group. Because I wanted to have a group that didn't necessarily emulate or made it a goal to outdo or go out of its way to deviate from a club that's already established. I want something that established itself, that wasn't out of the name of, you know, wasn't trying to do something that another club was doing, or it wasn't out of comparison, but something completely new. But at the same time, have something to it that is unique to it, maybe a certain feature or something that we do that makes it stand apart between other clubs of a similar nature.
What would that special something be?
Well, that's one of the problems. I don't think a lot of the people involved really have a focus. I've heard many things talked about, for example, the including American artwork, cartoons, and other things such as, you know, group manga readings, sewing, fashion nights, music. It's really all over the place. I keep hearing all these ideas about different nights, different stories, and
I have a question about the manga reading. It's manga are graphic novels. How would you read that aloud? How would you try to turn that into a book on tape? I think that that's sort of counterintuitive. It was sort of like that Saturday Night Live sketch where they take the photo book from Madonna called Sex, and then they try to turn it into a photo book, and they have Danny DeVito as the narrator describing how looking at the pictures makes him feel.
Well, that's actually kind of something to try there. But the idea is that it seemed like the idea was that we have a projector or a TV with a computer connected to it, and then we have scanlations put up, and then we all view it together. And that would be kind of interesting because we can see how different people interpret the dialogue.
But the dialogue in it is typically very conversational. What do you mean in terms of interpreted? Are you guys reading it in Japanese and translating as it comes along, or?
Well, these are I was assuming it was going to be scanlations.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, there's all these ideas. That was just one of them, and I've yet to hear any organization as to how these ideas are going to be executed. It's just more like they're all out there.
Here's a crazy idea for that. Remember Mad Movies back in the day? Maybe that's before your time. People would turn on a movie. It was an old movie, and they would mute it, and then they would make up new dialogue for it. So maybe you get someone with Photoshop, and the group will start suggesting a new text for the word bubbles. Then you can replace it and make your own spin on the comic.
Again, yeah, that sounds like, you know, it'd be a fun idea. But the problem is that we haven't even gone established yet. We've yet to have actual meetings. We're still in the planning process, and we're talking about all these ideas.
Well, for a college club, it's getting kind of late. Some distance into the end of the semester. I'm surprised that the group hasn't yet formed its mission statement yet.
That is also a concern because, you know, it is getting towards the end of February. I think the funding cutoff date is coming pretty soon. And we had originally talked about this in January. And for some reason, the president, I should say, the site have meetings bi-weekly, and now that the deadline's coming up, she's having them weekly. And we've only had 2.5 meetings, two official meetings, and then one meeting that was never originally meant to be a sanctioned meeting, but a lot of myself and a few other people stayed around because we were promised that if we could turn it, we were told that if we could turn in this form today by someone that we don't even really know, I don't even know how he's connected to the faculty, that we could get a room this week. And again, we had many problems trying to write the mission statement. We renamed the club. Now instead of, it was originally originally 4 letters, and now it's 6 letters, the initials for our club. And it's really ridiculous. It's I'm not even going to say the whole thing, but it was something along the lines of AAMVAC.
AAMVAC?
Yeah, that's not even, I'm trying not to give away the actual name, but it was something, it was something along the lines of that. It doesn't even really spell out a word or anything that can be abbreviated. But that's our current name is, the 2 A's were trying to put in both Asian and American into the name. So they're trying to put in the idea to people that this is both, something that appeals to not just American cartoons and artwork, but also Asian cartoons and artwork, and have a mixture. And even that, it sounds
pretentious? Possibly pretentious, maybe?
Yeah, and actually kind of obnoxious, because it's starting to really feel more like, okay, there's all these things I like, there's all these things I want to do. How can I have a name for that? And then you got to think about how can you have a name for that? And then you come up with something really obnoxious like the DDR Karaoke Bicycling Club. And it wasn't quite obnoxious what our initials stand for, but it was something, quite along those lines from how it ended up sounding like.
Those names sound kind of lame, actually.
Yeah, and this was something when we did the name change, it was something that the leader, and it was only the leader, myself, and 2 other people. It was actually 3 other people that were around, and there wasn't even really a vote for it. It was more like, okay, this sounds like a good idea. I'm going to go with this name. And I guess to kind of rewind back to how things started, originally we had a meeting, we had elections. I won my position fair and square. But the problem was that there was the clique that had the most positions in the club, and as well as the president. And then there's people who were not really friends of either the clique or myself, and there's people that were my friends. And, I gave a really good speech as to why I should get this position, and then my competition, which is a member of that clique, they gave a speech, but it really was very hard to follow, and it kept losing concentration, and it really got lost in itself, just like this message I'm saying now. See, I can tell. Anyway, and I got my position, and then the whole problem now has started is that, okay, everything's established. I won my position 6-5. Everyone who voted for him, they seemed like they were going to vote for him anyway because they were all good friends of him. And then everyone else seemed like, I'm sure I had my friend who thought, okay, I'll go with him. And then there were people who were like, that's the person who seems really excited and can really make a difference. Okay, time progresses, and you know, I'm really trying to encourage the president. I messaged them saying, you know, is there any news? You know, or, you know, I've talked to this person. This is their email address, if you could get a hold of them. And then after a couple of days, didn't really seem anything was going on. So I told someone in the group something along the lines of, I'm not really sure if this club's going to kick off. I mean, I don't really know how, you know, our president's really going to work as a leader, because it doesn't seem like anything's really going on. And that is a fair doubt and assumption. I mean,
well, I would think in that case that the evidence speaks for itself. You can't really be accused of being unfair if you're describing something that's you've seen going on for some time now. Not enough actual club meets, no mission statement, and basically the feeling that the ghost ship is out to sea with no one steering it.
Yeah, that's good.
The nameless angel. But even this
was even before, you know, it's gotten to the point now. This is the first week where things didn't seem like they were happening. And to be honest, everyone kind of has their doubts. I'm sure, you know, maybe you have like a bad day and it's like, you know, I don't know if things are going to go right. It doesn't mean that you're trying to insult the club. It's more like you're not really sure because things aren't happening. I mean, you know, how do you take something like that in your honest opinion?
You mean,
Let's say if you were trying to do something and it was at a very slow start, and then you heard someone kind of have their doubts. I mean, would you take offense to that? Would you inquire why they said that if you found out, or would you would you kind of brush off, or maybe even use it as a motivator in terms of pushing yourself, because there obviously, you know, seems like there might be a problem with the process of the club anyway?
Well, I gotta say, it depends. I don't really think that there's a uniform way I would deal with that. If it was someone who is one of my haters, I might not take their criticism very seriously, because as you know, haters exist to try and pick at you using any way that they can. If it was from someone unconnected with the club, I might look at their criticism in a more serious light. And if it was from someone that I was friends with who was telling me this, I would definitely turn an ear to seriously check out what they were saying.
Well, you know, the thing is though, like, would you inquire as to why they said that, or would you get angry about, like, would you take offense and to, you know, that being said?
Well, as for taking offense to it, no. I'd try to understand what they were saying and see if I could fix it. But at the same time, if there was nothing that I could do about it, like say if the problem was caused by limited funds due to the school reducing its budget for extracurricular activities, and there was not really a whole lot I could do, and in which case it would not really keep me up at night, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and that's, again, understandable. And this was something I told to someone, you know, I was just kind of confiding him. I didn't think it was really going to be, you know, I thought why I told him was just going to be just between me and him. It's something like, you know, if I were to tell you, like, you know, I don't really feel like going there because it doesn't, you know, I don't feel good about it, or, you know, it's something, it's, if you think about it, it's something very trivial, it's a sign that, you know, it's just something very trivial, or maybe it's a sign that there's something that's, you know, an issue of concern.
Also, personality conflicts. It's very difficult for just a group of only 10 people to get along with each other because everybody is so different. If you have a larger group, then the potential for conflict increases even more.
That's a good point.
Okay, how big is the circle that of friends that we're talking about here for your group?
Well, the group essentially has 16 members on Facebook. There's the, I kind of consider the clique of the group, which is made up of, let's see, about six or seven people. And these are people who hang out with each other all the time, who always see each other at school and after school, who always sit with each other. So it makes me kind of wonder that, you know, maybe they're not really open to taking criticism or doubt outside of that clique. It kind of even makes me wonder, what if someone inside of that circle of friends that's in the middle of a group had said it instead of myself? How would it have been taken? Anyway, as time progressed, you know, later on, I got a very long wall of text from the president saying, why would you say that? I heard you say this, and who do you think you are? And this is not how you should be acting if you're wanting to be vice president. And why would you even say something like that if you even want to be a part of something? And then I explain, well, I mean, everyone kind of has their doubts every now and then. This was something that I thought was just going to be between me and him anyway. It's not really a big deal.
Was this a power play?
Define that for me.
Okay. Sometimes, in order to assume a position of power, you have to find some way to discredit the person who already occupies that office. This can lead to a vote of no confidence, in which the other people in the organization basically ask that person to quit, but they don't really ask. And then when that person steps down, the new guy steps up.
That's something I do feel it's kind of alluding to now. But, you know, going back to what was going on, you know, I explained, you know, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I didn't mean it as, you know, something personally to you. And then I thought everything was resolved. Okay, time progresses. The guy that I'm not really exactly sure why. Originally, he wasn't part of that clique of friends, but no one really knew him. And then he started hanging out with them more. And then I noticed he was always sitting with them and everything. And I'm not exactly sure why, but he lingered on the fact that I had said that. And I'll go on to explain what happened from there. Next club meeting, he's very condescending. Like, we were going over ideas of what to view for the show, and I mentioned Gunbuster.
Oh, yeah, very retro. Very old school. Are you talking about the old one or the new one, the Top of Narai one?
Both, actually.
Okay, the entire thing.
Sure.
I mean, that you got the old and the new. It's like a chocolate sandwich cookie with the warm, wonderful white filling inside and then the chocolate crunchy outside.
And, you know, that's a very good show, in my opinion. I really enjoyed it. And, you know, I pulled up a trailer on YouTube on his computer, and he wasn't really paying attention. And the debate that we had was, you know, what's an anime that could appeal to both girls and guys? And that was my suggestion. And I mentioned, well, hey, you know, check it out. You know, this is something that could work. And then he just turned over and looked at it for about 5 seconds and says, this looks like some shitty Gundam ripoff. Now, keep in mind, Gundam and Gunbuster are nothing alike. There is a giant mech in Gunbuster, but it doesn't even resemble the mechs in Gundam. In fact, it has a very human shape to it.
Yeah,
it's more like a gigantic person.
That's not a very good comparison to make, because Gundam has always been about interstellar politics. You know, the Earth versus the Moon, that kind of thing. And then these whole very melodramatic speeches about heroism and sacrifice and so on. Gunbuster, on the other hand, is sort of soap opery some of the time.
Yeah, and, you know, then again, plus this was a trailer, and you know, keep in mind, he pretty much had a closed mind anyway, because he didn't even really look at it. He just kind of glanced over and then just said, you know, found some way to insult it, and then, you know, everyone laughed.
Like what I hate it would do.
Exactly. And what even made it more ironic is that the already established club was mentioned, and the president said something along the lines of, yeah, we don't want to be like them because they're closed-minded. But then again, this was, you know, the most, this was an example of sheer ignorance, you know, that just look, you know, to just shut off an idea like that.
Well, I saw something like that recently. Someone told me that they didn't like Buffy because the characters in it are shallow and superficial. Then I explained how they change with examples over the seasons. I'm not going to go into it because this is a show about anime and we're starting to get off topic. But the point is, he was trying to say that the characters are superficial and that the show is about nothing but monsters. And I thought with my explanation that I demonstrated that it was not so, and that it was his assertion that was analyzing things from a rather superficial standpoint. Yes, no, or rather, no, John, you are the demons kind of thing.
Well, even then, I can give them the benefit of the doubt that they at least knew that there were monsters and so forth in the show. You know, unlike Gunbuster, which doesn't have Gundam-style mechs or even Gundam-style combat.
No, not really. Yeah, also, isn't Gundam... Gundam is sort of mass miniature-type combat. With Gunbuster, the squads are pretty limited, aren't they?
Yeah, and they're mostly fighting the alien squads, too.
Right.
Anyway, moving on, you know, I mentioned, and, you know, it was totally, you know, dissed. And to make the second meeting even stranger was this guy comes out of nowhere. And he pretty much acts like he owns the place. And he just says, like, you know, oh, I can hook you up with, you know, free rooms and all these conventions. And I got, like, all these connections. And I can even hook you up with a room that we can use on campus. And if you just, you know, help me out with what I'm trying to do. This guy, I'm not going to say his name, but he runs a convention. And
we may be getting too specific here. Right. If we get too specific, we'll have to take it out in post.
Well, okay, it seemed like that, long story short, he seemed like he wanted to use the club as a vehicle to cater to his own needs without getting too specific. But later on I talked to him, it seemed like, the way he talked about the club, it seemed like it was his club that he didn't really have a position in, but he owned the club. But moving on, you know, he comes in and everyone's, you know, kind of like going into it, and he's delivering all these promises, and me and a friend of mine were kind of skeptical because, you know, we thought it's cool, and if he can deliver this is fine. But we are like, okay, you know, why is he doing this? You know.
Yeah. He wasn't elected in a fair way. There was no democratic process to nominate him for whatever role he suddenly seems to have.
Well, that's the thing. He still doesn't have a position, but everyone, you know, more on that in a minute. Everyone seems to, you know, kind of look at him as, you know, oh, like he's, you know, the guy that we need to go to talk to about. He has all these promises and things of that nature. And me and a friend were like, you know, why would he say all these promises? We didn't really say it vocally, but we were just thinking, you know, why is he doing all this and that? And then, you know, I told a friend of mine the situation, and it said that it sounds like that your club is more concerned about getting free stuff rather than, you know, actually trying to do something cool and establish, you know, something that could, you know, benefit people who may want to join or so forth. Anyway, time progresses. You know, and I expressed some concerns, like, you know, when, you know, like, someone had suggested a 30-minute meeting. I said, well, you know, that's probably not a good idea because
most shows are about 22 to 24 minutes. You'd be able to do a show, assuming that that the meeting is there for a show.
And also, you gotta mention, you know, people are often late sometimes, and then, you know, getting there would be like a waste of time to them. So, moving on, you know, I mentioned, and then time progresses. As far as I know, there weren't really any problems. Me and my friend were like, okay, you know, we're kind of skeptical. We don't really see the whole ordeal. And eventually, you know, I was hanging out one day with my friend Gelman. The president was around the same table, and they were like, well, we're getting some complaints, and we're thinking of doing a revote. And I'm like, okay, you know, why? You know, who's complaining? And what are they saying? And then the guy who I mentioned, who I had said the whole thing, like, I'm not sure the club's going to kick off, he was sitting by the table as like, because we can choose who we want, you know, to be elected. And I'm like, well, you know, I thought we've already been through this. And then, you know, me and my friend, we were like, you know, this is, you know, kind of nonsense. And that this is, you know, we could be, if they're really going to push something like that, they're, you know, we could be using that time to get our club established rather than going back to square one. And it would just be a waste of time and, you know, to really make, to pull off the power play, as you say.
As unfortunately, this kind of struggle is going to continue to exist as long as both of you are there. So, basically, it's going to come down to, if he should somehow steal, you know, assume power in some way, it'll come to be necessary for you to decide whether or not you want to continue to participate in the organization.
Later on that day, we had a meeting. It's the one I mentioned back before. You know, we were sticking around. We were talking to the guy who said he was going to promise us a room. And again, like when we had what then became an unsanctioned meeting, and you know, we talked about all these ideas and everything, and I put in all sorts of input, and it, for a minute, it really felt like we were kind of getting things done, even though we were back to square one. We're renaming the club. We're going over the mission statement, which we still don't really have one yet. Okay, later on that night, because it was unsanctioned meeting, many people couldn't really show up to or really were aware of what was going on. So I made a post on our Facebook group stating, okay, all this happened, and we're really trying to get all this information done. So, you know, this is our new name. Again, the name wasn't picked by me. That was kind of an obnoxious name, but, you know, whatever. And if you have any suggestions or ideas for our club that we can implement to our mission statement or even, like, comments about our new name, feel free to do so.
Yep.
And go, you know, go to our website and post about it. So, you know, I made a post about, you know, what letting everyone aware of what was going on and remind them that they have an opportunity to suggest information and everything. Who I will now call a paranoid guy, the guy who I mentioned, oh, you know, I'm having doubts, who evolved himself into the clique. He makes a very long threatening post. It had a lot of like grammar errors too, so it was really hard to read. But I do remember something about, you know, having something against me, wanting to open my asshole open, and so forth. He's posting this all over our club group.
Okay, that's very unprofessional and doesn't speak well to his ability to execute the duties of vice president. Because one of the things that a vice president of an academic organization.
Well, this guy is actually the guy I mentioned. He's actually our secretary, so he does have a position, and he's talking like this.
Well, that's a problem, and I would not. I don't think it would behoove the organization to have him as a member of the staff. And here's why: because what he said could be taken as representing the group, and by extension, the school. So he may want to curtail such behavior in the future.
Well, you know, this was my response. You know, I listed, okay, a lot of these changes weren't really up to me, and that, and you know, if you have a problem, you know, please address it in a peaceful fashion. I had made no disrespect to anyone, and, you know, whatever it is we can talk about. But most importantly, you know, we should not tolerate any violent acts in this club, nor should, you know, this be something that should be all over our club forum. Okay, his response, he instead posts on my Facebook wall. And he basically goes on about the same thing, like, you know, from what I gathered, it seemed like...
You go ahead and ban this guy. he has some problems.
Well, this is what I gathered from, you know, talking to him. Maybe, I guess he moved, he doesn't really have many friends. I mentioned one thing, and then he enters this group of friends that he sticks to. And then he lingers on something I said that wasn't even really that offensive. And he decides to get really defensive all of a sudden because I guess he feels accepted by this group. And he's going out on a limb and blindly making himself look bad to, I guess, defend this group.
Okay.
And, you know, and I just kind of was like, okay, and what? Was everything you're sending me, you know, really accomplishing? And then the president, you would think that they would just go and delete these posts or whatever. Instead, this is what they do. They post on our forum that, okay, we're going to go ahead, and since we're getting all these complaints being that one person who made the violent threats, we're going to have a revote. We're gonna have it now. I don't care about voter nominee. You vote now who you want to be president. And then I know she was online, and I'm like, you know, you know, I'm not trying to offend you or mean any disrespect, but we're really wasting a lot of time and effort and energy going, even pushing this idea, when we could be better using this time to avoid, just put away social drama altogether. And for one, social issues shouldn't even be an issue with the club.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I was stealing club money or if I was purposely sabotaging the club, that would be one thing.
Yeah. We're pointing out, another thing to point out is that this is a college organization. These types of petty personality squabbles should have been left behind at high school graduation.
That's a very good point. And even then, you know, I'm not even really trying to offend anyone by explaining the situation. I'm just kind of giving something who may be in the situation or has been something they relate to. And I'm just trying to address the situation as it goes. I'm not trying to make anyone look bad. But this is just what is going on. And I'm not making this up. Anyway... She posts about it, and a friend of mine, you know, great guy, he goes out and defends me, and it's like, you know, well, Ken should still stay because he's done his part, and, you know, I've gotten the information, I've talked to the right people about getting our club started, and it's really up to the president to really put this in action, which she really hasn't yet. And, you know, I was talking to her online, you know, this is really just going to really break the club apart. Many people have different opinions. I did win the election fair and square. Not really much time has really progressed to really, you know, judge, you know, who's good for this position or not anyway. And, you know, to really, this would just be a big waste of time and really deviate from the idea of having a club that's not a social clique with a few outsiders in it, because it seems like I'm being attacked because I criticize, which criticism should be something we're open to because we're supposedly open-minded, and that I had said off the record anyway. And if you know, it's really just going to hurt us in the end. Rather than just moving on, forgetting, or having something like, hey, you, did you say that? Okay, hey, you, that's who you said it to. Okay, you apologize. Okay, moving on. Instead, we're making this big thing. And now, she's going to put the whole revo on hold. And this meeting that we're going to have this week, we're going to address the social issues of members talking behind members' backs. Even though I've talked to some people on my end who have talked behind other people's backs, but it was very trivial and is something that is not even worth addressing. Because this is the important thing, anyone listening to this, if you're interested in starting a club. The idea is that we put away these differences. We may think about them. We may not even say them, but we think about them. But we put away these differences and go after a goal. It's like, okay, we're going to establish this, and this is going to be something that people who aren't able to or afraid to can come, or people who just want to learn more can come, and we can all at least experience and enjoy this one thing together.
For a while, you know, for an hour and a half every week, you can come together with some friends and watch some anime or whatever purpose the club might have, theoretically speaking.
So at this point, I'm considering two things. Okay, the guy who had mentioned that, you know, he was going to hook us with a room on campus and rooms and, you know, free rooms at cons or whatever. I don't even really know his deal. But, you know, I could stick around and kind of milk that, knowing that I'm probably not really going to be taken seriously or well-liked. And my VP title will just be a title. It won't really...
name. There will be an acting leader, and you will just be the official holder of the spot.
Correct. Or, you know, or I could just kind of resign. And most likely I see this club kind of falling on its face anyway, so I'm not really sure what exactly I should do.
Well, I've got a question for you. Say you step away from this organization and this guy occupies your spot. What are his plans for the organization?
You know, I have no idea. You know, I mentioned the one guy who said that he wanted to use it as a vehicle. The other guy who wanted to be vice, he said that, you know, he said something along the lines of that, he didn't even really have a mission statement that really made a lot of sense. He said something along the lines of, you know, we want this club to be kind of a culture in itself, but, you know, what does that exactly entail? That kind of even goes back to the whole clique idea. You know, I thought the idea of this would be to have people kind of embrace and be exposed and be more informed about a culture, maybe different cultures. But, you know, at the same time, that is kind of it depends on how you interpret. Maybe he meant something differently, like, I don't know, but...
It seems like a pretty grandiose and vague statement, if you ask me. What is the club's purpose? What is it going to do?
Well, you know, and I talked to the guy today, and I told him my concerns. And he was very nice about it. He said, like, he was going to talk about everyone individually, but I should do my part and still, you know, keep active in the club, which I had been doing. I mean, I did stay, you know, for that unsanctioned meeting. You know, but at the same time, the one thing that bothered me was he said, remember, we're trying to do what the already established club failed to do.
Run that by me again?
Remember, we're trying...
No. I heard what you said.
Yeah.
I just want to understand the context of what behind it. I want to understand the subtext.
Well, their idea is that the already established club is a closed-minded group who is not open to new ideas, who is, you know, clicked, you know, based, and it's just a group of friends, and all they do is sit around and watch anime, and they don't really serve any purpose or benefit anything.
Well, okay. Before I say anything, I have to add a little preface here. So here we go. I'm a member of that group. I don't want to say the name of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been attending it for a while, and
yeah,
I've.
Yeah. But we're a Japanese animation club, So if we have meetings and we show Japanese animation at those meetings, that's sort of one of the primary purposes of the club. It would sort of be like criticizing a Star Trek club because they might some of their activities might include, you know, studying Klingon or Romulan and watching Star Trek and perhaps making costumes, Starfleet uniforms that people would wear on the show Star Trek.
Well, their idea is that the this new club should be a mixture of practically everything they like, because they mentioned Asian fashion, Asian culture.
Asian fashion is pretty big. Are they talking about just little subsets of it?
I think it's more the kind of the mainstream J-rock kind of, you know.
Oh, like Visual K type stuff.
Yeah, I think. Okay. I mean, this is just, you know, assumption, but they mentioned fashion, music. It basically seemed like that every meeting or the idea of the club was going to be an ongoing convention that is always different every meeting, and at the same time it still contradicts itself because we're talking about what shows are we going to show every week, but at the same time they're talking about all these other ideas. You know, like doing cosplay and fashion and music and even doing history and things like that.
I think that idea is basically unfeasible because they're trying to do too much. Simply doing one of those things will provide enough work in preparing for them in terms of securing rooms, securing the equipment for it, finding people to help out with carrying of goods, etc., etc. I think that the idea, as said, is just too impractical for a small group of college students to pull off.
Acting like high schoolers.
Well, there's another concern I would have to make. I must issue here, and that's just speaking as a full-time grad student myself. As a student, we don't have much money usually, and the club budget is usually very limited. So even doing one thing will typically exhaust that budget. Trying to do multiple things will drain it even faster. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really sure how they're trying, how exactly they're going to execute all of this. And it really seems like now that we're talking about it, because they're trying to incorporate all these things that they like, then again, even then, it goes back to the idea of this is a clique-based group because we're trying to have a group that's based around our interest and, you know, maybe open to people who share those interests, I guess. I mean, it doesn't, you know, why can't we just have one thing that we can focus on and then maybe look into other things, but we still need to establish.
Yeah, you can't do 10 things, but maybe you could do 2, or possibly even 3.
Yeah, but even then, you need to establish that one interest that you're going to execute before
which
even.
Which is going to be the primary focus.
And, you know, I'm going to spill some of it for you. The first two letters, you know, I mentioned the first two letters, and, okay, actually, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Too specific, you might have to tender your resignation. I mean, I'm not sure that anyone on the internet is listening to our show, but if the wrong person should.
Okay, well, I mean, I'm just going to say, okay. All right, well, in our initials, we have the word American, we have the word Asian, and we have the word words visual media.
Okay. You know, the title kind of reminds me of Genshiken, Society for the Study of Modern Japanese Visual Culture.
I believe it was a reference to that.
Okay. Oh, well, I'm glad, because I think that unintentionally referencing that is not so good, but intentionally noting it is fine.
But even then, it's kind of obnoxious, especially including, you know, you got two countries and you got multimedia.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that they should bring that up, because one of the episodes in Genshiken focused on someone who didn't really understand the concept of personal boundaries, and also that particular person was way too aggressive. Until he was put in his place by one of the more vocal club members. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's kind of funny you mentioned it, because I believe that's supposed to be our first anime that we're going to be watching, assuming it ever goes anywhere.
Assuming that you guys actually get around to watching anime. No offense, man.
No, none taken, man. So really, I mean, anyone out there who's interested in starting something, if you're listening, this is why I gotta say, if you're still out there, one, if you're gonna start an anime club, make sure that you have people who are at least open to the idea of criticism, who, you know, they can take a few, maybe, insults, or just small talk if they ever hear anything, that they're not going to burst out in, you know, violent anger. Another thing is, make sure you have that one interest. Make sure, you know, your interest, you really kind of limit the club to that just one interest. And only when you're established and you're like, okay, guys, you know, we got this going on for a while, do you really want to experiment with something else? I mean, you know, you could just watch anime for a while and be like, okay, you know what? We want to start watching some adult American cartoons or something along the lines of that.
Fair enough. Or you can expand the plethora of Japanese shows that you're watching to include live-action Sentai flicks, you know, the various Rangers things.
Yeah, or, you know, or we like to try out some, you know,
Godzilla.
Yeah, we could try out some movies, or, you know, hey, is anyone here interested in maybe doing like sewing or cosplay? Maybe, you know, we can start doing something for that. But by trying to establish all that before the club even gets started, it's kind of like being in a toy store or a video game store, I should say. And then, oh, I want that game, I want that game, I want that system, I want that game, I want that game. Okay, for one, you know, you got to think about, do we even have the money? And most importantly, do we even have all the time to really do all that anyway?
And most importantly, or not most importantly, but also importantly, do the things have anything to do with each other? Otherwise, it just becomes like internet fan fiction. Oh, wow. I can't wait to write my Star Trek / Doctor Who / Transformers / Sailor Moon crossover.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up the club pretty much. Yeah, it is a big crossover that makes no sense. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but again, make sure you have a solid interest that you're going to base your club off of. I don't care if your club's based off Legos and then you think, oh, well, down the road we should do origami.
Robotics. You know, that old motorized building kit from the 80s, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I love that. Or, you know, but again, you're going to want to start off being like, okay, we're going to be about this. Eventually,
still have that be the primary focus of the club before you go on to ancillary activities.
Good point, exactly. And because if you, and you know, and make sure it's an interest that you know is going to last long, is not going to be tedious, is not going to be like, okay, well, we're going to expand it, and now we've tried out this other interest, and we don't really want to do the old interest. Make sure that you're not going to run into something like that.
Yeah.
Make sure everyone has at least fifth grade writing level who's going to be, you know, going to have a position of power.
That actually ties into a larger sad observation I have about the American educational system and how it doesn't teach people how to be good writers. But that, again, is sort of outside the focus of what our radio show is supposed to be about, so I'm not going to go into that here.
And another thing is, remember, guys, you know, not everyone's going to like each other.
You don't have to. You just have to respect each other and work together for a common purpose. It doesn't matter if you don't happen to like Joe's 327 in the club. If you do his, if he does his job, and you do your job, and you can cooperate, then that's good.
And that is a great point. You know, there's a guy, maybe a friend you have who always like maybe talks a lot of smack or you know goes on tangents, you know, kind of like I'm going now. But at the same time, you gotta know, like, you know, why do they do this? Do they really intend anything bad by just kind of spilling the beans and how they feel? And, you know, again, social issues are very trivial if someone, you know, is at least doing their job and they're like, and, you know, they may even at least get them to say something like, okay, you know, I'm not perfect and sometimes I have a big mouth, but I promise you that, you know, I think this is a cool idea and I'm going to stick. This is something I want to do. If you can have sincere conviction, you know, someone saying something like that, that really goes a long way. And even you know, other groups I've been in, there are people a good example was I was in a group, it's DDR Pump It Up group.
Cool.
Since it's semi related, you know, there's this guy. Didn't really talk to anyone. Didn't even really like anyone. Really didn't like me. But he still showed up at tournaments. Whenever there was a line, you know, I didn't try to cut in his place or anything, and, you know, I made sure that, you know, he got his turns in. I made sure when he walked off, no one went and grabbed his stuff. You know, we still at least carried that mutual respect where, you know, maybe we don't really like each other, or maybe we might have said something bad, or maybe they even continue to say something bad. I don't even know. But we're still having that respect work together on, you know, keeping up the status quo.
Yeah.
And I guess the last thing is just, you know, again, don't make social issues. If you notice two people don't like each other, the only thing you might want to do, and this is maybe even this is kind of pushing too far, is just kind of have them say, okay, you know, did you say that? All right, did you say that? Okay, I want you guys to apologize. And, you know, I understand if you guys don't like each other, but just make sure it doesn't really interfere in what we're doing. And, you know, let's all at least kind of get along. And that's pretty much that. Is there anything else you would think?
Yeah, that's about it, really.
Yeah, so you know, anyone out there, good luck. Hope you stay around long enough and you kind of learn something. Again, I'm not trying to be a jerk. You know, I really thought this was a cool idea, even though it was a little unorganized. And that's the thing, you know, I wanted this to be a club that didn't rival another club. I wanted it to be its own thing. I wanted to establish, I want something that people outside of our network could join and that we can at least share those moments together. And it just seems like, you know, I'm not really sure. Maybe they don't really want that. And that's pretty much concludes what I got to say.
Well, there's one other thing. In regards to doing what other clubs do, it's okay if you do the same type of thing as long as you don't do the exact same thing. If one club shows anime and your club wants to show anime, I mean, you can do that as long as you show have a different schedule of programming showing different shows. I mean, that way people who were affiliation independent could hop from one club to another and see different stuff. It could be good for them.
Yeah, I mean, I just want the kind of my real goal was to have an alternative, not something that made it a goal to emulate, go out of its way to make it so different or even, you know, rival the already established club. But to have an alternative, kind of like WCW and WWF back before we had Dennis Rodman running around in the NWO Wolfpack, or oh, I.
Yeah,
I mean, even then, okay, like WWF, you have the D-Generation X, and WCW, you have your NWO.
Does this mean one club is trying to get the other club to suck it?
Yeah, I mean, but even then, they were, they were similar, but they, we associate those things with its originator, and at the same time, they stand out because they're very different, even though that they may share qualities.
Yes.
And is there anything else?
Yeah, I think that's about it.
All right.
Which means we're going to wrap this thing up.
All right. Awesome.
Cool. All right. I'm going to stop and clean up the shows and paste them together. All righty. Cool.
Yeah.
So.